ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So it seems already quite a few of the devotees left or collapsed or had enough Shravan Kirtan for the time being. So we better thank everyone for organizing everything and coming and cooking and cleaning and making rangoli and taking prasadam and jumping in kirtan and everything else that's required. Lakshmi Seva, everything else that's required for making a festival a festival. So thank you to all of you. Basu Ghosh Prabhu, we're told, is on the way. Just before he comes, I'd like to speak about hearing Srila Prabhupada. This is a Shravan Kirtan Shibir camp. So hearing from Srila Prabhupada, we've heard a lot about hearing. Today, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Goswami was talking about how Srila Prabhupada established the whole Krishna consciousness movement on the basis of hearing, which is the basis, the entry into and the basis of devotional service. So the whole Krishna conscious movement is going on because of Srila Prabhupada's hearing and chanting. It came into existence because of his own, first of all, hearing. He said that his own Guru Maharaj liked him because he, our own Srila Prabhupada, his Guru noticed him that he could hear well. What happened on Brajmandala Parikrama in 1932, Abhay Charan Day, when was that? We're going in the wrong year here. Anyway, he joined him at the Gauriya Mata had organized a Parikrama. And it was 32. And one evening, all the devotees, they went off to see one temple, and a few stayed back to hear Bhaktisthana Saraswati. And one of the few was this unknown to all of them young man. He was a fairly young man at the time. So he just sat and listened. And Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur would speak for minimum 2 hours. This short talk of his would be only 2 hours. And very difficult language, very difficult to understand. How many of you could follow all the points that Mukunda Datta Prabhu was making? He spoke 2 days ago. Not so easy to follow. Very deep, subtle points, philosophical. Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur's talking was difficult to understand. In his language was difficult, his vocabulary was difficult, his ideas, to even begin to understand them, one had a very good background of Vaishnav understanding, philosophy. So it was difficult for people to understand him. And usually when it's difficult to understand, people don't like to listen much, which is probably one reason why it is a noted or visible phenomenon in our ISKCON today that many of the talks, they are quite light or even entertaining. Because if you talk in a light or entertaining way, you're more likely to keep your crowd. Whereas if we talk in a very serious and philosophical way, we're not likely to keep so many people, because who's it? Not that many people are interested in spiritual understanding or philosophy. But anyway, this Abhay Charan, he sat and he listened through the whole talk. And yeah, it was 1932, and a year later, in the place where Srila Prabhupada was living, what's the name of that place? No, he wasn't living at Radhakund. His residence place at the time was Allahabad. It's now going to be changed back to the Puranic name, Prayagraj. And that was the name of Srila Prabhupada's pharmacy, by the way, Prayagraj Pharmacy. So at the Sri Rupa Gauriya Math there, it's called Sri Rupa Gauriya Math because Prayag is the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami. So this young man was brought for initiation by the local devotees, and Bhaktisthan Sazar Thakur recognized him. Even though he'd only seen, well, he'd seen him long ago, but just he recognized him that a year or so, a few months before, he had sat in his talk, all through the talk, and didn't go away. And so he gave him Harinam and Diksha at the same time. That's called what we call in ISKCON first and second initiation. He said, I have noted him. He likes to hear. He noted that he... So Bhaktisthan Sazar Thakur appreciated that Abhay Charan, who he initiated as Abhay Charan Aravinda, he liked to hear. And Prabhupada said, even I had difficulty to understand what my guru was saying. I liked to hear him. He had faith in the process of hearing. And Srila Prabhupada said that because I heard nicely, therefore I can speak well. Because he did Shravan very well, he can also... he could also speak very well. What do you think about Srila Prabhupada as a speaker? Where would you rate him in 0 to 10? How would we rate him? There are many popular speakers. We don't have to rate 1 to 10. We can just look on YouTube and see what the figures are. Who's watching Prabhupada and who's watching... People who tell jokes. People who tell jokes get much more ratings. Seems they're a much better speaker, isn't it? If they get many, many more people listening to them. Well, YouTube isn't the measure. It's Krishna's satisfaction. By speaking, Srila Prabhupada made this, by kirtan, that means speaking the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and the holy names, giving the holy names. So what is good hearing? It means to listen and listen with faith. Srinuyad, what was that? Srinvatang shataya anityam grinatas cha svacheshtitam kalena nati dirghena bhagavan vishate haridi. Bhagavatam states that one who is hearing with faith and trying to understand it, this is very important, trying to understand it also. I've seen in Vrindavan and other places that there are people who will come and listen to a guru or a speaker, and they have the idea that you should listen. Someone is speaking and you should be there. But they're not really trying to understand it. They have enough faith that it's stated in Shastra that you should hear. So there are different speakers on Bhagavatam and people sit, but they may not be really trying to understand it. And understanding also means that one has to live it. I just read this afternoon, just before coming here, Srila Prabhupada stating the he was commenting on this seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Maya Sakta Manah Partha. How, here, Krishna in this verse says, Maya Sakta Manah Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashraya Asangshayang Samagrang Mang Yata Gyasasi Tach Trinu. So Srila Prabhupada was commenting, oh, this verse means that Krishna is telling Arjuna, listen to me. It might seem a funny thing to say because we already went through six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, and from chapter 2 to chapter 6, it's mostly Krishna talking, and all of a sudden Krishna says, listen. It might be like in the class, if you remember in your class at school, the teacher goes on speaking, and time to time he says, listen, she says, it's usually women teaching, isn't it? Madam says, listen, listen. Because the tendency is for the mind to wander away. Or Arjuna may have thought, Krishna just said, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shradhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamomata. The best yogi is the one who's with faith in me, is my devotee. So Arjuna might think, okay, I'm a devotee. Krishna already said, bhaktosi me sakachet. All right, that's it. So my work is done. But Krishna said, wait a minute. It's not finished yet. We've got another 12 chapters to go. So just listen. So listening in such a way that Maya Sakta will be, first of all, at this point, okay, now we should understand. We have to be attached to Krishna because Krishna just said, Madgate Nantaratmana, we should be attached to Krishna. And all right, that's the beginning. But now being attached to Krishna, now one has to hear. And then all doubts will go away. They'll all be cut away. There's a major part of hearing. As again, Bhaktivedanta Goswami is saying how by hearing, everything will become very clear. So Srila Prabhupada, he was very much aware of this. As again, Maharaj was saying at midday that people have to hear. What is that? Bhagavata kata jodi shune baraba. If they hear the message of Bhagavatam again and again, that's shrinvatam or nityam bhagavata sevaya. They hear again and again, then all the bad things in the heart will be cleared away. So Srila Prabhupada was very aware of this, and he spoke profusely on Krishna consciousness. And we're very grateful to all the devotees who made the effort to record Srila Prabhupada, his speaking. And the effort's still ongoing because, there's been digitalization of Srila Prabhupada's speeches, which were recorded on reel-to-reel tape recorders, which probably most of you haven't seen because many of you were born after the reel-to-reel tape recorder era. And then you probably, some of you saw these cassettes. And now all that's being been transferred to digital format and edited for sound quality. And we're very grateful to all the devotees who have made this available. Madhav Prabhu gave a presentation the other day, as he often does, about how you can get all of Srila Prabhupada's recordings in one little SIM card. All those recordings. So all glories to modern technology, if used properly, can be used for hearing Srila Prabhupada. So we're very grateful to all the devotees who recorded Srila Prabhupada, beginning with who? Who was the first devotee to record Srila Prabhupada? Anyone know? Srila Prabhupada. He was the first one. When he had no disciples, he had the presence of mind to get a tape recorder. Then he was recording that introduction to Bhagavad Gita. You can hear it. Srila Prabhupada spoke that, and later it was transcribed and edited. And that appears as the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada would dictate for others to type using this reel-to-reel recorder. And then one day, Garga Muni, one of the first devotees, he saw a dictaphone. And he bought that because he thought that would be great for Prabhupada. That's used by bosses in offices. They dictate their letters and then the secretary types it, or the doctor dictates and the secretary gives the all this thing. So he saw that. He thought that would be very good for Srila Prabhupada's translation. He can just dictate using this. That was state-of-the-art technology at the time. So he brought it, and in the shop, when he bought it, the assistant, shop assistant, spent half an hour or 40 minutes showing him how to use it. This is what you do. You click this button, and then you do this, and you do that. And so Garga Muni remembered it all, and he brought it to Prabhupada. And he thought, now I have to show it all. Prabhupada knew. He didn't have to tell him anything. There must be dictaphones in every Kali Yuga, I guess. He knew. He knew immediately. He started immediately working with it. It's not the greatest miracle Prabhupada did. The greatest miracle, it's difficult to say what the greatest miracle is his whole life, but it's he knew how to use it. And then, so Srila Prabhupada is very much aware of the importance of his speaking. And he arranged for recordings. Unfortunately, many of them are lost. There were many more recordings in Bengali. I was told there was a... We have just a few recordings of Srila Prabhupada's Bengali talks. I was told there was a whole trunk of them. We used to, in India, it used to be a standard part of people's homes, these metal trunks. There was a whole trunk of them. They all got washed away in a flood. In Mayapur, there are regularly floods. So great loss. But anyway, there is still a huge amount of recordings. And we can take advantage of that. We should take advantage of that. In every lecture, he made various points. Well, his recordings, they really fall in three main categories. One is sung kirtans, sung, S-U-N-G, sung kirtans. I didn't say sung kirtans, sung kirtans. And some of those come with Srila Prabhupada's spoken explanation also. And then there are his lectures and his conversations. And sometimes at the end of lectures, there's a questions and answers session, especially in the earlier days. Later on, Srila Prabhupada didn't take so many questions at the end. He would say, read my books. And sometimes in the conversations, it would be mostly Prabhupada speaking, and it would be almost like a lecture. But basically, we can say there are three main categories. And the conversations are very interesting. In as much, well, again, in the conversations, there are two main categories. One is Srila Prabhupada speaking with non-devotees who he's preaching to, mostly. And they're talking to devotees only. And there are more conversations recorded in the later years of Srila Prabhupada's presence among us. So how Srila Prabhupada spoke to various people is very, very valuable for us. We can learn how to preach, how to present Krishna consciousness as Srila Prabhupada did. I personally, sometime in the 1980s, had this idea that I can learn how to speak to people and rebut various points and how to make various points. If someone says this, how do I reply? So I made for myself a program of listening to Srila Prabhupada's conversations with, especially with non-devotees, and seeing the points that they would make and how Srila Prabhupada would reply. And then that becomes a guide for how we can do so also. Then in the conversations with Srila Prabhupada, with his disciples, there are many, many points about management, about Srila Prabhupada's personal life, especially even before he came to the West, about history and politics. Srila Prabhupada is very interested in history and politics of India, and he would speak up so many things about how the British, they manipulated the Indian population deliberately to destroy their culture. He's many times spoke about Gandhi, usually not very favorably, sometimes somewhat favorably. So many, many interesting points. And Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they, in the later years of Srila Prabhupada's presence, they often made a point of finding out all kinds of strange information about the strange world we live in, and then bringing them up in Srila Prabhupada's presence for Srila Prabhupada to comment on. Again, either today or yesterday, I came across again, because I'm going through Prabhupada's lectures and hearing them again, how in Mexico, just over the border with California, in Tijuana, there's a place. People go over the border from California to Mexico, from America. So they have one kind of entertainment there, that one woman has sex with a donkey. So that's the kind of, and people pay to see that. So these are some of the kind of unusual things that devotees would tell Prabhupada and take Prabhupada's comment on such things. Because Srila Prabhupada is very aware of the degradation of human society. So, as a general principle, he was very aware of the degradation of human society, and devotees would often supply him with some of the more lurid details. So that's very interesting. And for straightforward philosophical presentations beginning to end, then the lectures are there. The lectures are more than others. And in his lectures, Srila Prabhupada makes usually various points in one lecture. And if we listen very carefully, we can find that even though many of the points Srila Prabhupada makes, they may seem to be repetitive, but he's really stating them from different angles of vision. Srila Prabhupada, several times in his letters, which is another vast source of transcendental revelation, in his letters he several times said to study, he wrote to his disciples and said, study my books and discuss among yourselves about the philosophy therein from Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Study the philosophy therein from different angles of vision. So Srila Prabhupada, he would discuss many of the same points over and over again. And but it would never be exactly the same. And if we listen carefully, we'll understand how he links one point with another point. And of course, Yeah, that's something we hear in Prabhupada's lectures also about children, how they should be controlled. So just this afternoon I was reading. You can read also the transcriptions. Something very interesting Srila Prabhupada commented. This is during one conversation. He was talking about the Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 16. Artho jignyasur artarti jnani cha bharatarsham. So very interesting comment that Srila Prabhupada said, that jignyasu, the inquisitive, and jnani, someone who's in knowledge, they're in one category. He said they're almost the same. The jignyasu is at the beginning stage and the jnani is at the full stage. Jnani means bahunam jananamante jnanavamang prapadyate. Someone who understands that Krishna is all in all. And then he related that to the people, they call themselves jnanis, mayavadis. But they're not jnanis, because elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhyaha. Their idea that they're a jnani, that they're knowledgeable, and they think that the Absolute Truth is impersonal, and Krishna is a manifestation of something impersonal, but Krishna says, abuddhyaha. So they're not jnanis. Srila Prabhupada said, the real jnani is the one who knows, Vasudeva Sarvam, that Krishna is everything. So then Srila Prabhupada said that Artha and Artharti, he said that this is mainly grihasthas, because the grihasthas want money and they want their material situation improved. And he said they're not on a very good level because they worship Krishna, and where they get the money, they go away. Okay, thanks a lot. But he said, the jignyasu and the jnani, that's the sannyasi. So they're better situated because they don't go away. They don't have anything material. So, and like this, we'll find different comments in different places. In some places, Srila Prabhupada will say like that, that grihasthas, they're all attached. In other places, he would say that you can be a first-class devotee as a grihastha. So requires a little intelligence to hear. Grihatas cha svacheshtitam. It requires that we seriously try to understand with our intelligence what's being said, to understand that in some places Srila Prabhupada may say something, and another place he may say something which seems to be completely opposite, but that is that is also there in Shastra. So it means to apply our intelligence to try to understand. it's the point that one should try to hear again and again and again, and by the grace of modern technology one can do so. The grace of modern technology and the hard work of so many devotees, one can do so very easily. People nowadays, they're not so much inclined to read. They should read. Please come. But they can hear. Everyone can hear. I just want to make a few more points before I turn over to Vasu Ghosh Prabhu. Actually, there's so many things to say. So Srila Prabhupada is given everything that we need to be fully Krishna conscious in his books. But at the same time, he did want his lectures recorded, means he wanted them to be heard. And if we hear again and again and again, we'll find that the knowledge that is in the books, that becomes very strong, strongly fixed in our heart. We may think he's saying the same thing again and again, because we need to hear it again and again. I heard this from devotees in London. shortly after I joined. Srila Prabhupada spent a lot of time in London in 1973, and he was speaking on the, just see what difficulty it is to hear. If there's any little visual disturbance, everyone with their eyes will go. That's why the children are running around, everyone will look at them and stop hearing. It's such a hard thing to hear in Kali Yuga. What do we do? Make cartoons. Krishna, what is it? Chota Bhim or something. What did I do? Hearing is for brahmanas. Hearing is for exalted people. So try to hear. So we need to hear again and again. Just like we heard this morning, Midday Maharaj was quoting from Bhagavatam about how tadarajastamo bhava kama labha lobha dayasche, how by hearing the lower modes of nature, they become mitigated by hearing the message of Bhagavatam again and again. Kama and lobha, material desire, material greed. Now who among us can say that we are free from material lust and greed? So then we need to hear that we need to hear. Is it not? We need to hear that we need to hear, and the conclusion is that we should hear. Again and again and again. We need to hear. And hearing, another way of putting that is that it is purifying. Purifies the consciousness. To hear from Srila Prabhupada, hearing should be from the lips of a pure devotee of the Lord. So hearing from Srila Prabhupada, it's very purifying, especially if we are applying our intelligence and trying to understand. That will be especially purifying. But even hearing without understanding, Srila Prabhupada would tell his disciples, sometimes in India, he would give lectures, especially in public programs, in Hindi or Bengali, and he would tell his disciples were mostly Westerners, and most of them at that time did not know either Hindi or Bengali, and Prabhupada would say, you should stay and listen anyway. We don't understand anyway. Prabhupada would tell them, you sit and listen. Just the sound is purifying. Sound is very powerful. Just like this sound coming from outside, it's not meant for purification. It's meant for entertainment. And we hear this boom, 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 this kind of, it's called music. It's not really music, but it's called music. It's not meant for decreasing material desire or giving us edification in Krishna consciousness. It's meant for nourishing our material desires and increasing our material desires. The sound is very powerful. We should be careful what we hear and who we hear. It makes a difference. We can be sure if we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada, unless we're a rascal, and you're not rascals. If we hear from Srila Prabhupada, we know we're hearing from a completely pure source. This, everything we hear is completely for our benefit. It's meant for our benefit, and it will benefit us. We can have complete confidence in that. Hearing and trying to understand. And Srila Prabhupada was especially empowered by Krishna to speak in such a way that people could understand. As again, Maharaj, I'm quoting him again, he was quoting Srila Prabhupada's song. He prayed when he was on the ship. He prayed to Krishna, please you decorate my words in such a way that these people will be able to understand your message. So sometimes it's said that people can't understand Prabhupada and we have to change the message or change the presentation. If they didn't understand Prabhupada, how is it the whole Krishna conscious movement was established and spread all over the world? Seems to be an unscientific statement that people can't understand Prabhupada. Then how did the Krishna conscious movement ever start? The evidence is there that they could understand. And they need, and there's some contention that, well, the world has changed so much in the last 40 years that we have to change the presentation of the message, and gradually the message itself gets changed. But we'll find Srila Prabhupada himself often speaking that we have to give the same message. Yoga Prokta Puratanaha. It's the same old message. And in the last 40 years, well, some things have changed. Vrindavan's changed a lot. It's become so modernized. But as far as the situation of the material world in general, well, it's still birth, death, old age and disease. It's still punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Same as it was when Krishna spoke 5,000 years ago, same as when he spoke millions of years ago. And it always will be. That's why Bhagavad Gita is important, because it's eternal knowledge, it's eternal benefit. So let us hear from Srila Prabhupada. I'm just encouraging you, all of you, to do that. You all get this Shravan Yantra. There are other means also. You can hear Srila Prabhupada. Please listen to him and be benefited. And we're not Ritvikvadi fanatics who say that the parampara ended with Srila Prabhupada. He also wanted his disciples to speak and initiate and guide. So we should also hear from Srila Prabhupada's disciples and disciples of his disciples. But we have to see if it's in line completely with Srila Prabhupada. That is an important point. If there's any doubt, be careful. If there's any doubt, better just stick to Prabhupada and those who are clearly not deviating, because definitely Srila Prabhupada is the one empowered by Sri Krishna to bring Krishna consciousness to the world. So let's stick closely to Srila Prabhupada and those who stick closely to him. Basa Ghosh Prabhu is one who heard Srila Prabhupada many times personally and took to heart his mission of preaching Krishna consciousness in India. At that time, when he first came to India in the early 1970s, it was very hard to get any devotees to stay in India. The Western devotees didn't want to stay, because there are so many reasons. It was so difficult in so many ways, and the preaching was a lot more fun in the West. But Srila Prabhupada wanted some disciples to stay and help spread Krishna consciousness in India. And Basa Ghosh Prabhu was one of the few who really took that to heart and really did it, and he's done it. That's his life. So we'll hear from him now. The subject is, especially as it's just after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, we're talking about Srila Prabhupada. So I just spoke about the importance of hearing from Srila Prabhupada, and it's in English. As you may have noticed, I'm speaking in English. Today's the English session. So please come. Thank you very much, Basu Ghosh Prabhu, for making the effort to come here.